It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Oh, breaking news. ABC News' Brian Ross is reporting Michael Flynn promised full cooperation to the Mueller team and is prepared to testify that as a candidate, Donald Trump directed him to make contact with the Russians. Yes!
Beginning to look a lot like Christmas, and it's beginning to look a lot like collusion.
This, yeah.
This I mean, like, it's... you get a car reaction from the audience, by the way.
He goes to jail, lock him up!
Take this moment, Joy. I give it to you.
You know what this is for me? This is the antithesis of election
First
night.
First day of Hanukkah.
No.
She can rip off her black veil.
That's a little nice. Am I going to do a joke now? Everybody thinks I'm Jewish. I'm not. I'm Italian. A few years ago,
I
get a call. Happy Hanukkah. I said, Ma, I'm not Jewish. Anyway. On election night, yes. I had to wear a veil. I was in mourning.
A black veil.
This is like the antithesis of that hideous night. Well, and that's why I'm happy.
But the thing is, this is so significant. You're talking about someone's national security advisor, someone with a military background who pled guilty to lying to the FBI, to the federal government, and now is going to testify that not as president, as a candidate, president... The candidate, Donald Trump, directed him to make contact with the Russians. I mean, does everybody understand how significant that is?
All right, that's enough of that. If you want to watch the whole thing, it's on Breitbart. But that gives you an idea of the glee with which the left and a lot of Americans have greeted the plea by Michael Flynn. He was guilty of lying on one count to the FBI. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk. There's a lot to say about this story. But I wanted you to hear that first because this is how many of your friends and neighbors feel about it. And this is the kind of information they're getting. This is what they're hearing. A lot of your women friends watch The View. Don't ask me why. I just don't understand why women choose to be stupid. I'm sorry, but they do. They choose to watch these daytime programs where they're filled with misinformation. They talk about silly things. They think silly thoughts. And I don't have time for that. But let me just say, in response to that, there is nothing wrong with Michael Flynn as the president's chosen person in transition on national intelligence to talk to the Russians. That is as natural as breathing. He would also talk to the French, to the Germans. He would talk to the Israelis. He would talk to everyone in a transition. And that's how ignorant people are and people on The View are, that somehow that's a crime, that the person is going to be taking over, heading up the national international affairs for the president is not talking to various governments. That is so normal. In fact, I will show you how normal it is. We'll play actually clip two, because this is Obama's State Department before President Trump was president commenting on anybody talking to the Russians. Let's listen.
Probably have seen reports starting yesterday, but then more of them this morning about contact between the incoming national security advisor and the Russian ambassador. I'm just wondering, from the State Department's point of view, is this something that's of concern at all? Or I'll just leave it there and then follow up.
Again, not necessarily. I've seen the reports. I don't think they've been confirmed or corroborated yet. He's part of the transition team. That's really for them to speak to and how they are engaging. I mean, the president-elect is also engaged on his own with many world leaders. I don't want to speculate, and I don't want to...
So there's nothing... This building doesn't see anything necessarily inappropriate about contact between members of the incoming administration and foreign officials, no matter what country they're from.
No.
Right?
No.
All right. So there you heard it. That is Barack Obama's State Department while he was still president. It's very clear. But somehow we've gotten stupid. Like the transition team can't talk to any other foreign power, especially the Russians. It's exactly what they're supposed to be doing. Yeah, you don't just come into office and suddenly pick up the phone. Otherwise, our country's in peril. If there isn't some sort of what we call transition of power, building relationships, working out details, because in, 28 days, 25 days, 15 days, 14 days, they're going to be taking power. They have to work out the details and establish relationships. There was nothing wrong with him doing that. Brian Ross has been suspended because he gleefully came on camera to report General Flynn's plea. Let's listen to clip 11.
He was once one of the president's closest advisors, one of his first major appointments. But today, as General Michael Flynn walked out of court in Washington, protesters chanted, "Lock him up." An echo of Flynn's own words about Hillary Clinton.
That's right. Lock her up!
Flynn pleaded guilty today to lying to the FBI, telling associates he is prepared to testify, if needed, against President Trump and others in the White House.
How many more figures have to be brought to justice because of their ties with Russia before we end up connecting all these dots?
Flynn now admits he lied about his conversations with the Russian ambassador, Sergei Kislyak, during the transition period. The White House had claimed it was unaware of the substance of those conversations, but today's court documents show Flynn was acting with the knowledge of senior transition team officials. The first example.
You get the idea. Brian Ross goes on, and it turns out that he lied in his own report. He was the only reporter reporting this, and that's, of course, what Joy Behar read on The View, that she was so salivating over, and all the audience was just screaming with glee, let's lock them all up. This is great. So Brian Ross misreported, and he was suspended by ABC. ABC wrote a big apology, which I don't have time to read to you, but he was suspended for misrepresenting exactly what took place. And let me just tell you, my best understanding from inside sources is that General Flynn did not even lie to the FBI. Agents tasked with interviewing him have reported that he did not lie, that he simply did not have answers to certain things. Now, we'll get reports on this. We'll find out. I mean, for heaven's sake, this was over a phone call that he made to the Russians when they were recording and making public all of these personal, private, should be private phone calls between President Trump and world leaders. This phone call, if it was so egregious, is available. The press has heard it. If they think that General Flynn colluded in some way or did something nefarious, don't you think we would have heard those phone calls? We would have seen the transcripts of all the terrible things that General Flynn did. My understanding is that General Flynn is a patriot. His biggest crime was that he came out in support of Donald Trump early. He was fired by Barack Obama because he spoke the truth about what was happening with Al-Qaeda. He also spoke the truth about the Muslim Brotherhood being a radical Islamic terrorist front. And this is why he was the target by the deep state. And I would say, I will read to you from someone that I know just these words. Mueller's historic MO is to pick a financially vulnerable target and wreck him financially with crushing legal bills, plus reputational damage to prevent him from finding work. The target will ultimately cave on a flimsy matter in order to provide Mueller with the pretext to continue after bigger targets. All right, that's just part of it. That's the brief summation of this. Now, Andy McCarthy's reporting this morning, and Mark Levin had said the same thing earlier. This is all about impeachment. Now they're talking about Trump obstructing justice, and they're basing that, this particular charge, on a report. I think we can go back to Garrett Tenney. His clip from this morning, I don't know what number is it, you guys, it's number 6. Okay, play number 6 for us.
We know the president loves his Twitter, and he has tweeted a lot over the last 48 hours about Michael Flynn as well as the FBI. But it turns out this particular tweet did not come from his own thumbs. The president's personal attorney, John Dowd, he tells us he was the one who drafted the tweet and that he then sent it to the White House social media director, Dan Scavino, who actually posted it. Now, Dowd tells us he was simply trying to paraphrase the events and obviously did so in a rather sloppy job. He added in a statement, "I'm out of the tweeting business. I did not mean to break news. The point of that tweet was entirely correct. It's just very sad. I don't know why the guy, Michael Flynn, lied. He didn't need to. Despite that explanation, the tweet has given fresh fuel to the president's critics, who argue that if President Trump knew Flynn lied to the FBI when he fired him, it means he could be guilty of obstructing justice for then asking FBI Director James Comey to take it easy on Flynn. And while the White House is trying to downplay the significance of Michael Flynn cooperating with Mueller's investigation, today Senator Lindsey Graham said Flynn could also be the perfect person to prove there was no collusion.
There is no evidence of collusion. Nobody's been charged with it. But you found the one person who would know if it did exist.
All right, so I'm going to interrupt Lindsay because we have to hurry along. And let me just say that this is the point now. This attorney for Donald Trump, do go figure why, he wrote the tweet that he did, which seems to indicate that Donald Trump knew that Michael Flynn had lied to the FBI. Now, this is getting so twisted. And, of course, the left is jumping on this to say that the president then tried to obstruct justice by advising Comey to please not go after Michael Flynn because they alleged that he knew that he had lied to the FBI. Well, this is how this works. This is how liars lie. This is how stories are woven, and the American public is so confused they don't know what the truth is. But here's the truth. Mark Levin is saying that Mueller is being used to impeach Trump. There is no collusion with the Russians, which is what he's supposed to be investigating. If this is all they have against Michael Flynn, it's virtually nothing. And so Andy McCarthy weighed in this morning. He said this is and always has been an impeachment investigation. And Robert Mueller is being used as that. Now, another wrinkle happened over the weekend. I'm going to get this in. If we have to delay just for a second, let's do. I'll let Garrett Kittenny tell the story. Here it is.
We've learned that the Justice Department's Office of Inspector General is now looking into a number of cases that that agent played in and see what his role was in those investigations. Now, that agent, Peter Strzok, is a former deputy director for counterintelligence at the FBI. And in that role, he has been involved in the investigations into Hillary Clinton's private email server, the Trump dossier, as well as Mueller's probe into Russia's election meddling and any possible ties to the Trump campaign. Now, for months, congressional investigators have also been requesting the Justice Department that they allow Strzok to come before their committees and answer their questions. They've been accusing the department of stonewalling their efforts. And yesterday, after these reports came out, the Justice Department, we learned they have contacted House Speaker Paul Ryan to schedule a time for Strzok and two other witnesses to come before those investigators. But House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes is not buying it, and he is blasting the Justice Department in a statement saying this attempted 11th hour accommodation is neither credible nor believable, and in fact is yet another example of the DOJ's disingenuousness and obstruction. Now, Nunes has given the FBI and DOJ a deadline of tomorrow night to provide all of the documents that his committee has been requesting, as well as the witnesses they have been asking to see, to hear from. And if they don't meet that deadline, he says they are prepared to file contempt of Congress charges against officials at both DOJ and the FBI.
All right. Briefly, this is the story on this. Peter Strzok, a member of the FBI assigned to Mueller's team, has now been revealed to be a strong Hillary Clinton supporter. It's been revealed an email to him and the woman he was having an affair with, who was also with the investigation. Their back and forth has been revealed. Now, I don't have the details of that. I don't think if people have made it public, I have not seen those yet. But Strzok was involved then in the covering up the interview or the tarmac visit between Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch. He was involved in helping Comey craft the remarks that said that Mrs. Clinton would not be charged. He's been involved in the email probe. He's been involved in the dossier. The FBI was refusing to release information to the investigative committee in the House. So now you hear Devin Nunes is going to be holding the FBI and the Justice Department in contempt for covering up. Now, that's a very brief telling of something that's actually a lot more intriguing. And when I have more time, I will unfold it better. But coming up next, another dramatic story. Kayla Moore, wife of Roy Moore, will join us. Stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
So
What would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
This Christmas, give the gift of laughter with books by J.J. Jasper and support AFR at the same time. Both Moses Was a Basket Case and Jonah Had a Whale of a Time are available now at afastore.net. These books are full of short stories and the kind of humor you love from AFR morning man J.J. Jasper.
True stories like babysitting using a dump truck, flying with the hurricane hunters, hitchhiking stories. You can't make this stuff up.
You'll laugh out loud as you fly along with private pilot J.J. and his instructor, who assumed a little too much about his student.
Oh, sure, it's funny now, but at the time, I thought I was going to die.
Order Moses Was a Basket Case and Jonah Had a Whale of a Time by J.J. Jasper at afastore.net. Order by December 12th for delivery by Christmas. At just $10 each, these books make great stocking stuffers. Order now at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. There may be a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Jesus would not wear a Christmas version of the Make America Great Again ball cap. That's the opinion of Newsweek, the magazine taking President Trump to task for doubling the price of the iconic ball cap just in time for the Christmas season. $45, shipping and tax not included. Newsweek says the Son of God would not approve of the price hike, cherry-picking some Bible verses about the love of money being the root of all evil to make their point. Newsweek has taken the distortion of Holy Scriptures to an all-time low. For the record, the good book says nothing about the suggested retail price of a Christmas hat. We finally know what to call all of you folks from Michigan. Be nice, Ohio State fans. The debate has been raging since the 1800s. Michiganders or Michiganians? Governor Rick Snyder settled the debate by signing a bill that dictates the people of his state will be called Michiganders. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Quite a war of words with Roy Moore's own brother attacking the Senate Majority Leader.
Mitch McConnell is scared to death that my brother is going to get elected and it's going to show up in Washington what's going on. I think Mitch McConnell's scared to death.
Tension is building here on Capitol Hill with no sign that Roy Moore is going to get out of the Alabama Senate race. Texas Senator Ted Cruz is the latest conservative to ask Roy Moore's campaign to remove his name from Moore's fundraising efforts, a source close to Ted Cruz telling Fox News a short time ago. Also today, the House Speaker was very blunt when talking about Moore and the Alabama Senate race.
Number one, these allegations are credible. Number two, he should if he cares about the values and the people he claims to care about, then he should step aside.
So now multiple calls from top Republicans here on Capitol Hill for Roy Moore to go. It's a very delicate matter for Jeff Sessions. This is his former Senate seat. He said the ethics folks at the Justice Department told him he should stay out of it. But there was this exchange with Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee.
I am have no reason to doubt these young women.
And with that in mind, if you believe these young women,
do you believe Judge Moore should be seated in the Senate if he wins, and would you introduce investigations by the DOJ regarding his actions?
We will evaluate every case as to whether or not it should be investigated. This kind of case would normally be a state case.
So the Attorney General leaning towards allowing people in his home state of Alabama to sort it out.
All right, that was Mike Emanuel of Fox News, and one could argue that Fox News is really the only national television entity that might possibly tell the truth about what's happening in Alabama, and yet I find time and time and time again they repeat old allegations and they refuse to clarify the record. That's why I talk about this almost every day. The race in Alabama kind of comes down to this. Justice Moore has now moved into a very competitive position with Doug Moore, his Democratic challenger. The people of Alabama are still not necessarily buying what the news media is saying. But most people, even I was at lunch yesterday, and a lot of people, friends of mine who watch Fox, don't know the whole story because even Fox is just not telling it. You have to understand Fox is tied to the establishment, to the hip. And if you're ever thinking about things and hearing them report about political events, remember that their first allegiance, with the exception of some of the personalities, is to the establishment. Let me tell you a few things that are happening in Alabama. A George Soros army has been busy registering convicted felons to vote against Justice Moore. They estimate that they've probably registered between 5 and 10,000, and those are not, of course, part of any kind of poll. And that's so that could certainly bring the race into even a much closer contest. I want to read you a couple of headlines that come from various entities. You have to understand, too, Matt Drudge and his headlines on this particular race are always damning. Matt is gay, and he hates Justice Roy Moore. And even though Matt Drudge may be a great resource for much of the news, I use Drudge almost every day. I know that when it comes to these issues, he likes, he has a definite bias, trust me. Any Christian conservative who has fought against LGBT rights or gay marriage, he's not going to be a fan of. And so here's a headline like this. Roy Moore just blamed his sexual misconduct allegations on lesbians, gays, and socialists. And of course, when you get down in the weeds of it, it doesn't sound a bit like that. Here's another headline. Roiled by claims, Alabama Senate race goes off the rails. And then they talk about how Jimmy Kimmel sent someone down to disrupt an event. You see the video. It's really appalling, honestly. The conduct, the mockery. And then last but not least, another headline from Drudge. Why did Roy Moore escape to Australia? Clues remain in the outback wilderness. And then you get down in the weeds of reading this. This is from the Daily Mail. And you see that the people that he lived with for a year had nothing but the highest commendations for his conduct. They interviewed a 16-year-old girl who lived in the home, and she said he was never anything but a gentleman. She was puzzled by these allegations. All right, all that to say that you are hearing a landslide of slander against Judge Roy Moore, and it's very difficult for them in Alabama to get their message out. I've asked Kayla Moore to join us this morning because no one knows Judge Roy Moore better than she does. They've been married for 32 years. They have 4 kids and 5 grandchildren. Kayla, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Sandy. I appreciate being here.
Well, it's not a pleasure, Kayla, but it's been very upsetting to see how this has been unfolding. I want to just say that...
Well, I appreciate you being on top of everything and knowing the facts and knowing what's going on, and I do appreciate your support and your prayers.
Well, you have both, personally, that's for sure. And let me just say that arguably, in my lifetime, no public official, maybe Richard Nixon, but not for this longest period as your husband, no public official, I would argue, in our recent history has endured such long-term attacks going back to the fight over the Ten Commandments monument, then bleeding in later into the same-sex marriage ruling in which Justice Moore did nothing unlawful and yet was completely slandered over the acts that he took over that, a removal of your pay and benefits by some sort of special panel. It has been a story of persecution like no other. And I want to ask Kayla, how does this current battle for the Senate seat compare to what you guys have experienced in the past?
Well, it's harder than anything that we've ever been through. You know, you mentioned the Ten Commandments, you mentioned the same-sex marriage battle. My husband's been fighting these battles for the last 40 years, The people of Alabama know him. They know him well. Yesterday, a poll came out and said 71% of Republicans in Alabama don't believe anything of these allegations or the slander that's come against him. He, from the day that we announced in April up until now, we have been attacked unmercifully by the Senate leadership, by Mitch McConnell, and by Democrats. And now you mentioned George Soros. I'm glad you mentioned that. They are here. Human Rights Campaign is here, and they've been campaigning. And it's been horrible. It really has been. It's been the worst that we've ever been through. And I think that's probably before the end of this race, they will have spent between the Democrats and Republicans about $50 million against us.
You know, Kayla, the irony is I just read an article last week that the A Senate campaign committee, that's the one, of course, that raises money to allegedly help senators, Republican senators, I'm talking about Republicans, has been stealing data from the House committee that raises money for their candidates. They've been actually using passwords, going in, stealing data to try to steal donors from the Republican House, and this has caused quite a clash. And the reason I bring it up is because then the other part of the story is that's because the Senate campaign committee has spent more than they have been able to bring in. And so when I read that, I thought, well, gee, who have they been spending that money on? And we know that they have spent tons of money to defeat your husband in Alabama. It's just amazing.
Yes, they have. They have. And it's because they know that he won't get up there and play the game, that he will actually go there and represent the people of Alabama. And he will bring truth and righteousness with him. And I think they fear that. I think they fear God. I think they fear the fact that he has quite a knowledge of the Constitution and the original intent. And they've gotten so far away from it that they're scared to death. They are literally scared to death.
Well, I agree with you. But let's go to the personal side. Of course, you've known him. You've been married to him for 32 years, Kayla. And sometimes it's hard to be objective, but it isn't always, because these kinds of attacks are so personal. They are jarring and disarming for, it's just hard to describe the kind of torture this is. This is a very different kind of attack. So I want to ask you, before you met Roy Moore, did you know who he was? Did you know anything about him?
No. My husband and I met at a Bible study. And I was almost 24 years old, had been married, and had a child. He's deceased, the biological father. And my husband and I met, and a year later we married, and he adopted my daughter. He has always been an officer and a gentleman. He's a West Point graduate, Vietnam veteran. I've never in my life met anyone like him. His love for God and country. His love for God is what impressed me about him the most. He loves his family. You know, we have five little granddaughters. We have my daughter that he adopted. It's his little girl. She used to travel with him. I don't know if you ever got to meet her. She was his executive assistant for a long time before she got married. He's got two sisters, and he's still got his mom, who's 91 years old. And this has been hard not only on me, but on all of them as well, on our entire family.
Sure.
It's been very hurtful. It's been very hurtful to the state of Alabama for the people that know him. They don't take kindly to these attacks, and I think that's what you're going to see on Election Day.
You know,
everybody's
Kayla,
pretty angry.
I want to read, I alluded to this, but I didn't really read it. This is from the Daily Mail, which is a British outlet, and this is the headline, "Why Did Roy Moore Escape to Australia? Clues Remain in the Outback Wilderness." Okay, so that sort of infers some things, but here's what they actually say. The Guardian spent a week in central Queensland seeking out those who knew Moore to find out what he was doing so far from home. What emerged was a portrait of a man overcoming his own personal demons, but one who never left the impression on those he met that he was anything but a gentleman. And it goes on to say the same thing in several different ways. I think I mentioned one woman who was 16 years old when Moore lived with the Rolfs came in close contact with him, said she never felt uncomfortable around him. There was nothing of that kind on my part. I certainly didn't feel uneasy with him. There was never anything remotely like that. I was in my teenage years, which I guess would have been the prime time if he was going to do something. Usually you have your antenna out for that sort of thing, and nothing untoward came about. I remember he was gregarious, very bubbly, a typical American. And it goes on and on. And so my point, Kayla, is, look, you're his wife. You know, people will be skeptical, and they say, well, of course she would say that. But the accounts that we're reading, his Vietnam buddy, who wrote that beautiful article on him, what, 2 weeks ago, about his character
well,
in
let
Vietnam.
Me just, let me, can I just say something? Everybody that knows my husband knows him. These allegations have come from people that nobody's ever heard from before. Most of them have records. Most of them have had cases before him, under him, whether he was VA or judge. We've had to spend a lot of our money instead of advertising on investigations to find out who these people are and where they came from because he didn't know them. It's hard to fight a ghost. But let me tell you this while you brought that up. Isn't it strange that they would go all the way to Australia to find out something about my husband when the opponent, they have not camped out in Birmingham. They have not gone back through his records. They have not gone back for 40 years and tried to find out anything about him. But they have camped out in Etowah County, where we're from, and gone through all of our personal records, all his records from when he was a DA, all our friends, people we went to high school with. I mean, this is a witch hunt. That is what this is. And the people of Alabama are seeing it pretty clear.
Yeah, I hope you're right, Kayla, and I think you are right. When I hear from people from Alabama, this is what they say, too. It's like, and they're just steamed, really. And now this, the entity, is it alabama.com or al.com that has been?
It's al.com.
They are the
None
entity.
None of the media outlets are with us. They're not for us. We've been very fortunate, though, to have you, American Family. We've been very fortunate to have Breitbart, American News Now. We've had some very conservative outlets that have been able to help us because the liberal media is definitely not with us. And all of this is a distraction, and that's what they want. They wanted it to be a distraction from this candidate that we're running against who is so ultra-liberal. He's for full-term abortion. He's for transgender bathrooms. He's for open borders. He's for so many of the things that the people of Alabama and the nation are against, and nobody knows it. And so they didn't want the truth to come out about who he really is. They wanted it to be a distraction about who my husband is, break his character down, because everyone had trust and belief in him and still do. So they know where he stands, and he stands on the other end of all this. So, it's just floored me. It's floored both of us, sister. You know, we expected them to, you know, try to come up with something, but this, I mean, this is completely...
Well, this is a gut punch. This just like takes your breath away. And it's hard to respond to it. Hold on, Kayla, just a second. You guys hold the break for about 5 minutes, if you would. I'm Kayla and I need to talk just for a few minutes more. And Kayla, what are you saying? You know, I saw this clip of Jimmy Kimmel sending someone down to mock a Judge Moore in a rally. Were you there? And what do you know about that?
He was there, and he was pretty obnoxious. And, we try to give people the benefit of the doubt, but not too far into it, we began to realize that there was something very strange about it. And one of the guys that was with us, who's an attorney and was also helping out with security, told the security, look, something's up. And so they sent him out, and then we found out later who he was and why he was there. And campaign didn't care too much, nor did the church, for them coming down here and mocking a church service and mocking our Christian values. And that's pretty much what that was about.
Yeah, it was really...
But they do. I mean, Hollywood does mock us, and Hollywood And people like that are the ones that are backing Doug Jones. We've had reports that Rosie O'Donnell has helped finance part of his campaign. I mean, these are the people that we're running against, Obama and Hillary and their agenda. And
the Republican leadership also.
These are not Alabama values.
No, and the Republican leadership also. You know, you heard in that clip Paul Ryan saying whatever he says about, you know, he believes the women, the accusers. He jumped on that bandwagon very quickly, too. And the irony is so rich to me that they've spent, what, $117 million in the House and Senate covering up for the sexual predators who have gotten away with murder.
And they've not asked them to step down, have they?
Yeah, no, and they won't even they're resisting revealing the names. So Paul
Ryan, these are allegations. If you look at over his history, and you could go back before that, he was student body president of his high school. He got appointed to West Point. Do you know how hard it is to get appointed to West Point? Do you know what kind of character you have to have? And then from then on, he went to Vietnam and fought for his country. He went to Germany. He went to Fort Riley, Kansas. Then he went to law school. And then he graduated from law school at the University of Alabama. And then he was appointed assistant district attorney. He has had a beautiful career. And these girls come up with something that happened about 40 years ago, supposedly, and we're supposed to believe that when we've seen. It's not what people say, it's what they do. And the people of Alabama and this nation have watched my husband and seen what he has done. You can believe people or you can believe what you see. And he has done these things. He has stood for religious liberty. He has stood for the acknowledgement of God. He has stood against same-sex marriage. And a lot of this is coming from that community. It is coming from the Human Rights Campaign. It is coming from George Soros. They have an agenda, and they don't want him there because they know, too, just like everybody else does, where he will stand.
You know, this article, I read the headline from it's from BuzzFeed, which is part of Newsweek. Roy Moore just blamed his sexual misconduct allegations on lesbians, gays, and socialists. Of course, that's a damning headline from their perspective. And let me just read what your husband said to that congregation. When I say they, who are they? They're liberals. They don't hold conservative values. They are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, who want to change our culture. They are socialists who want to change our way of life and put man above God, and the government is our God. They're the Washington establishment who don't want to lose their power. Really, honestly, spot on who he is fighting. And we just spelled it out in various articles this morning. The socialists, I would say communists, Soros, who, by the way, Doug Jones is connected with. Doug Jones has worked with Soros entities in Alabama. So let me just say, Orthodox Rabbi Noson Shmuel Leiter, I don't know if I pronounced his name correctly, said in a letter, Democratic and Republican homosexualists are trying to tarnish Moore's campaign. And that Moore, the former Supreme Court justice, was working on behalf of religious leaders by standing up to homosexualist, gay terrorists and the LGBT transgender mafia. I find that that's true. That's been my experience too, Kayla, trying to deal with that radical part of that community. What's the one thing you would want people to know that you haven't been able to say about this race?
Well, don't be fooled. Don't let your vote be bought by lies. Stand your ground. Stand up. Stand for God. Stand for country. My husband will support that, if that's who you want. You know, it disturbs me that people think that they can win races by attacking someone else instead of running on what they are and what they believe. And my husband, one thing that he's done through this entire campaign from the beginning and to the end is not attack our opponent. We have stood on the issues, and he has not run negative ads against our opponent at all. And that is all we have been bombarded with from the very beginning. And so he has stood for what he believes in, even in his commercials and his ads and even in this race. And we don't have to attack somebody else. We can stand on what we've done and leave it to the people to decide.
Right,
but I will say this, President Trump did come out this morning. I don't know if you saw that tweet.
I didn't.
And pretty much put his full support behind us. He said Democrats' refusal to give even one vote for massive tax cuts is why we need Republican Roy Moore to win in Alabama.
All right, Kayla.
We need his vote on stopping crime, illegal immigration, border wall. military, pro-life, VA judges, Second Amendment, and more. And that is—
Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. This verse depicts the boy Samuel discharging his ministerial duties in the temple. Eli was there, standing as a tangible audience. Nevertheless, the scripture identifies that the object and focus of Samuel's ministry was the Lord. As we go about our day, let's remember, though we may have tangible eyes and ears around us, though we may have bosses, employees, coworkers, or clients, the presence of company must never take our eyes off of the true object of our work. Though others may be present, we minister through our work to the Lord.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Having trouble finding just the right Christmas gift? Check out AFAstore.net. If you have a coffee lover on your list, there's a variety of wonderful American Family coffees and the 10-ounce stainless coffee tumbler. The child in your life, big or small, will love the Ryan DeFrades DVD gift set. And Hope of All the Earth and American Family Christmas CD, or the music lover. There's something for just about everyone at AFAstore.net. AFAstore.net.
Did you know that Jesus Christ fulfilled over 300 Old Testament prophecies? I wonder if that increases your faith. On our most popular Focus on the Family program of the year, British evangelist Jay John explains why he is certain that the teachings of Christianity are true. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
According to secular science, your entire human existence is caught up between 2 days, the day of your birth and the day of your death. But if that's true, why do all of us long for more? Why are we so fascinated by all that came before us and all that comes after? The writer of Ecclesiastes once observed that God has set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So, is it a cruel joke that we all long for more than the span of our years can give us? Not if you believe in the God of the Bible. In fact, we were designed for everlasting life, and God sent His rescuer, born in a manger so long ago, so that we might have it. Try out the print edition of Anchor Devotional, delivered monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Leaks to news outlets say President Trump is poised this week to recognize reality. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. It remains to be seen whether, if such an announcement is indeed made, he goes further and directs the U.S. Embassy in the Jewish state to be moved to that capital city from its present location in Tel Aviv. For decades, successive winning presidential candidates of both parties have promised to exercise existing statutory authority to move the embassy, only to recoil from doing so once in office. Usually, this bait and switch was justified by the fear of Arab threats of violence if America effectively endorsed Israel's claim to Jerusalem. Not only should President Trump honor his repeated pre-election commitment and relocate the embassy, while he's at it, he should also close the Washington office of Israel's abiding enemy and ours, the Palestine Liberation Organization. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. That was quite an interview with Kayla, wasn't it? Isn't that something? You know, you think about the price that some people are paying to set this country aright. It's a tremendous price. You know, a lot of the people I work with in D.C. have paid that price in other ways and in similar ways. The good men are the ones that actually get slaughtered in these fights, or at least they may not eventually die, and maybe, but so many of them are destroyed. You know, by contrast, you think of Kate Steinle's, we're going to talk about this in a second, Kate Steinle's murderer in San Francisco gets off free. And a few days before that, this Abdul Qatala, the guy that orchestrated the Benghazi attack, is not charged with murder in Washington, D.C. And then someone like Judge Moore is attacked and the attempts to destroy him. In fact, for many people, he has his reputation has been absolutely murdered, killed. And then when you think of someone like Michael Flynn, who from all accounts that I have of people that know him, have worked with him, is an officer and a gentleman, and has done nothing but try to make this country better, has taken great risks himself to step out against his own president when President Obama was in power, in office. Took a lot of courage to do that, and now he's the one being destroyed. It's just the injustice really is just unbearable sometimes. The only thing I can say is that God has not had his say yet. Our God is a God of justice, and the God of justice isn't finished yet. Because I know that in time, I don't know if it will be in our time, I don't know if Judge Moore is going to prevail in the race, I don't know if Michael Flynn is going to be able to recover from financial destruction, reputation destruction, not being able to find a job. Can you imagine that? I don't know, but I just know that God is the God of justice, and I know there will be justice. At some point, there will be justice. These people who are so gleeful about the destruction of these fine people will themselves face a holy God, and that's not a very good thought. I would not want to trade places with them. And the other thing that occurs to me, you know, I wrestle with this myself. I confess to you. People say to me, you know, why don't you worry about this so much? You worry and you wear this and you've been in the fight so long, you know, maybe you should slack off. And trust me, it's very tempting. Who wouldn't want to? Do you think Judge Moore wants to fight this battle and his wife Kayla all the time? You think Michael Flynn and his family are having fun doing this? I mean, I'm not in that camp at all. I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about fighting the fight, which is what so many of me and my friends are doing. But I think the other part of that is it kind of reminds me of Martin Niemöller, who was in prison during the Nazi regime. I think it was the late 30s. And so he was a well-respected pastor in the Lutheran church. And so some of his pastor friends came to see him in prison, and they said, Martin, how could a man like you, a war hero, he had been, a pastor, a man of integrity, how is it that you could be in a place like this? And Martin's response to them was, how is it that you're not here? Why aren't you here? That's the real issue. Why aren't you here? And so I say to each and every one of you, as troublesome as it is, as burdensome as it is, to take on the weight of the world, as it were, to take on the concerns of others, as the scripture says, as you take on the concerns of your own family, to broaden your scope of concern, would you think maybe we should encourage more of us to do that? You know, it's easy to unplug and to forget about it. And sometimes you have to. Sometimes I have to. I have that option now. But for the sake of these people on the battlefront, like Justice Moore and Michael Flynn and others whose names I could mention, we can't stop fighting on their behalf. I just don't think we can. I just can't imagine it. That's your brothers in arms, literally brothers in the Christian world. I don't know about Michael Flynn. Michael spoke about his faith, actually, in his statement about this when he pled guilty to lying to the FBI. He talked about his faith in God, which I thought was tremendous. I don't know about his personal faith. And so when these men are willing to lay down everything, really, it's too much of a bother to pay attention, to get out and vote, to try to get a good candidate in? Because you don't want to be worried because it might interfere. I mean, it's just, please don't do that. I just don't think God would have us do that. Balance, yes. You know, I remember when my daughter was very sick and it was relentless. And I took care of her, as I've shared before, for 20 years in my home with so much sickness and illness and full physical care and all of that. And that was hard. And trust me, yes, I wanted a break and I couldn't have one. I couldn't have one. It just wasn't possible. Nobody wants to be in the crucible like that, and there's only so much you can take. And so when you're not in it, a break is a good thing. I'm not advising that your whole life be ruined by your concern, but I am saying please care. Please care on some level. Please, please care and do what you can do. Knowing what you know, do something. All right, so a lighter topic, because we're coming up to Christmas. Actually, we're beginning to decorate in my home, which is so wonderful, isn't it? We have a Savior, and He will bring justice. And that's the good news. And He was born 2,000 years ago, and we're celebrating His birthday. And so if you would like to join us at AFA in procuring some of those Keep Christ and Christmas wristbands, which are great conversation starters, and also just a great way, you know, to express the very strong view that it is Jesus' birthday, by the way. Oh, by the way, it's the Savior of the world's birthday, and there is a Savior for the world. You can order a 10-pack of those wristbands and share them with 10 people this Christmas, and wear them yourselves. The challenge is to just share those 10, though. That's the first challenge. And if you order by Tuesday, December the 12th, you can get your wristbands before Christmas. So if you call now at 877-927-4917, 877-927-4917, or visit afastore.net, afastore.net, you can get your wristbands. Remember, you need to order them by December 12th in order to have them before Christmas. So there you go. Now, I mentioned Kate Steinle. Her murderer was found not guilty just a few days ago. Kate Steinle, of course, was the young girl murdered on the pier standing next to her dad. I think she said, "Help me, Dad," as she was dying in his arms. He was an illegal immigrant. He'd been deported so many times, had criminal offenses. And now this jury, which, as I understand it, half of it was made of millennials. I don't know what the other half was. Just people who don't understand. They live in the crucible of San Francisco, which is a whole other world. Sanctuary cities have been responsible for so much crime perpetrated on American citizens. It is really unfathomable. But I want you to know that the Department of Justice has put out an arrest warrant for Kate Steinle's killer because he has violated other statutes, and they're going after him. They want him arrested again and held, and there's going to be a showdown between San Francisco and their sanctuary city policy. So there'll be more discussion of that from us when we have a little more time to expand on it. And meanwhile, the irony of all ironies, Kevin McCarthy, who is one of the, you know, the second in command to Paul Ryan in the House, has now announced that Congress is going to hit its March deadline on the DACA solution, meaning the Dreamers Act. And my best information is that they have much more in mind than just legalizing Dreamers. They have big plans for you and for me. They never give up, do they? In fact, we're hearing that the senator from Arizona, Jeff Flake, is saying that in exchange for his vote on the tax bill, and yes, the tax bill did pass out of the Senate Saturday morning, didn't even get to that. It's now going to go to a House Conference Committee, so the House and the Senate will iron out their differences, and they expect to have it done this week. At least that's what they're planning. All right, so as part of the agreement, purportedly, with Jeff Flake, he's claiming that the leadership has told him that they will fold DACA, the DREAM Act. They will legalize the Dreamers. They'll work on that with him to make that happen, because that's important, you see. Nothing about sanctuary cities. I don't think Jeff Flake's very concerned about that. I don't think Kevin McCarthy is either. It's just amazing to me how betrayed, as Americans, we have been by our officials. They must go out. And by the way, this list of predators in the House and Senate, there's legislation introduced to expose them, to list their names, and you might be really surprised when you see whose names are on them. Maybe some of them will absolutely be quiet after this comes out. All their accusations against Roy Moore, these are accusations when these settlements are things that actually happened by congressmen and senators, and you don't know about it, and you don't know their names, and your tax dollars paid to hush up the victims. It's just a stunning story. So, listen, thanks for listening this morning. What a way to start a Monday, right? Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.